face looking okay. It's intelligence. Here, I'm offering that because it's from a man that was born again and transformed by the Son of God, His Word. From being arrogant and proud to being meek and humble, I want to listen to a man like that who's been changed by the Lord. And I love when I read it from that perspective. Wow. He said, be diligent to add to your most precious faith. 32. You know, that moral goodness. Not doing good, but being good. Like the being nature of God is good. And the virtue, be diligent to add knowledge. Not academic knowledge, it's the knowledge of the Holy One, the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of the judgment, the reward ceremony, so you can prepare. Knowledge of the eternal wedding, married to the bridegroom, what it's all about. Be diligent to actually give virtue and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. And be diligent to add to that love, that adopted love. If we're diligent about doing that, we won't stumble, and our garments will be staying clean. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, I want to talk to you about this great confession. But that church I mentioned, their garments were not just a couple spots, they were defiled, filthy. He wouldn't give this message to everybody, but that church, not this one, that church needed to hear a severe warning from the Lord. They were still saved. And he said to them, I think it's Revelation 3:5, if you want to look at it, you know, to him who overcomes, to him, to her, who overcomes, I, Jesus, will not blot out his name from the book of life. And there are churches and people say, well, that can't be God. And they're thinking, that can't be God. Well, wait a minute, that's God saying that. So if they don't overcome what they need to overcome, what's in jeopardy? Their name being blotched out. But see, the rest of that verse says this. He said, I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. That confession is really weighty. Because if he doesn't confess my name before the Father, I don't go. That means I don't know him. Y'all, this is weighty, but we need to hear it, even if you're being diligent, because there's false prophets and false teachers, and the words being twisted, even as Peter said, even to their own destruction. And many are following their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed. I'm going to stick to these scriptures God breathed that are profitable to teach us what is true, what is right, instructs us in the way of righteousness that doesn't end in death. You see, there's something worse the Lake of Fire. The Great Convention is really great. I'm going to share with you this next slide. Last Wednesday, we were really blessed. You know, I told them, you know, I got these little things on my dresser, and I got a jewelry box, and I put marbles in there. But they're not just marbles, they're symbolic things that have become really precious to me. You know, you can put that slide back up if you would, unless it's something wrong. It's a treasure. You know, a pearl is something of worth, isn't it? And pearls differ in their value, some greater than others. Jesus is referred to as the pearl of great price, worth giving up all we have to have, to possess. Why, Paul said, I count all things but rubbish, that I might gain the pearl of great price, Jesus. Now, what I told a doctor friend of mine, sir, what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world, or whatever it is that you may be trying to gain, but you lose your soul? This little sickness has put me indoors to speak to some very prestigious men about their soul and to point them in the way of salvation. We have to be about the eternal purposes of God. So speaking of my visits with doctors, we're blessed to have Margie's sister, Catherine, here. She works, I went to a pain management, Dr. Cram, the best I've ever been to. I love this man. And their staff is amazing. And I just love being there. And he's seen me going looking okay and getting worse. He's seen me with my oxygen tank and being bald from cancer treatment, but it's for amyloidosis, and getting down to 110 pounds. And he knew I was a Christian. And I didn't know it, but he was watching my faith the whole time. And then he's seen me, you know, get a little bit more weight back on, a little bit more hair. You know, I just didn't get back up there, but this, I'll take that, you know. And he had a guest doctor with him the last time I was here. He introduced me to him. He said, this is my best patient. I've watched this man's, he's, I don't think he's saved, he might, but he sure seems like he is. He is so kind, gracious, I love him. He's told the guy, I've been watching his faith. He was the same before his illness. I watched him through it. His attitude is better than those that are better off than him. And now he's doing better, and his faith is the same. Don't you know God's using that to speak to my friend, Dr. Graham? I don't realize those things all the time, but I'm like, Lord, I know I'm a slow learner sometimes, but a thorough learner, but help me to be about your business. There's something bigger going on, and it motivates me. I'm tired of going to doctor appointments and getting poked with needles and stuff, you know? But the Lord helps me to see the higher purpose. And so when I hear Dr. Graham or another one say, I'm like, Lord, you've blessed my heart through all this. Don't you know I will be a happy camper when I see Dr. Graham in heaven and Dr. Genasia and Dr. Breer? Oh, you know, see? I better get moving on. Say, get moving on, Pastor. You're only allowed to say that when I say you can. So, you know what I'm bringing out to you? I brought another pearl. And last Wednesday, I was blessed. I was telling them it was 14 months of these encounters with the Lord. Not every day. And I couldn't keep up with them, but it kept me busy because I had to get up. I knew I needed to write it down. And when you write down what God shows you, you're giving the Holy Spirit more time to fill in the lines and to give you understanding and all things. And so I brought another pearl I want to share with you. It was, I would say, the surprise of all surprises, a treasure of all treasures, this one. And it opened up the way I was escorted into the heaven. You know, it's how God wanted to manifest himself to me and the domain I was in. So, but it, from what did he look like? People say it's not about that. It's what he is like, not what he looks like. It's how he is and the way he is. And you experience the emotions of God. CJ's going to be your grandpa pretty soon, right, buddy? Wait till you hear, grandpa, something's going to grab you on the inside. That feeling that is, oh, you don't know what I'm talking about, grandpas and grandmas, right? There's something about it, you know? But when God says you, to experience that. And with all my flaws, his countenance towards me, always joyful. It was as if
then reverently led me to stand
before the Father, and it was there that he presented me to him and said, Father, this is for you. He is one of us. And you know, watching this, like watching a movie, it's a vision, like Daniel, he would see these things, these visions, sometimes were outside his mind, sometimes they were in his mind, like a dream, a vision. And you know, the Father's smile of acknowledgement was so very grand. So much delight was emanating from his whole being, and now it was just speechless. I didn't see it coming, you know? I couldn't even brace myself. It just happened. And my heart was swelling with, like the Bible says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. What an honor to have had a foretaste of what shall happen on that day when Jesus acknowledges me before the Father. What he was doing, I discovered while the Holy Spirit went, why are you showing me this? He was establishing my heart in a future reality. And he was helping me, saying, Son, I want you to talk to my bride, talk to my church, the importance about being established in their future reign with my son. It needs to be established in their heart because it will strengthen their belief and their confession when it's tried on the earth. It's going to assist them, strengthen them, not to let go of the faith, whether a confession or to shrink back from it, because I am not giving this up. There is a day coming and I'm going to be there with Jesus no matter the cost. Do you hear me, church? It is important that we are established in our identity with Christ and our confession of him, no matter the cost. Is it possible then that this is the most important confession the Son can make to the Father on our behalf? One thing is certain, is really a serious matter. Again, Matthew 10, 32, 33, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who's in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And I had an encounter, I had a foretaste. This is really going to happen. It's not watered down. Everything here we're going to see fulfilled. It's going to happen. There will really be the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Our lives are going to be evaluated. Our motives, our works, what we did with our saved life and the time that he gave us, whether it was worthless or worthwhile, eternal value or temporal, it's all going to come up. And the judgment will be given. The estimation, the truth about us. And then our position and our role with the Messiah in the millennial reign when he comes back here on the earth to sit on the throne of David. Remember, last week we talked about inheriting the throne of glory. In the very place, some of us, where we were put to shame, persecuted, some martyred. And in that place, he's going to give fame, glory, and praise. Yeah, I didn't have time to get to it, but the forerunner, Christ, isn't that exactly what happened to him and what's going to happen? Where was he spent? And put to shame and ridicule. Right there in Jerusalem. Yes, outside the camp, but right there.
Y'all, where is his throne of glory gonna be? Right there on the throne of David. This is amazing. And where will he be given fame and praise? And all the nations are gonna bring the glory right there where he was ridiculed. It is amazing, you know. There's a word for it, something justice, you know. It's ironic the way the justice of God works. God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love, all that you're going through. And when we go through it with him and cooperate with him working in us as his, as a masterpiece of his workmanship, there's a reward for every bit of it. Everybody say it's worth it all. And so, if being confessed before the Father by Jesus is the most important confession concerning my life, because it places me in heaven forever, then my most important confession on the earth is Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's part of what constitutes the true brothers and sisters of Christ. You know, his mother and his brothers came to him that one time, was busy, and it was told Jesus by his teaching that your mother and your brothers were outside desiring to see you. It might have been in a sarcastic tone, you know, because he's the Messiah. And he said, hey, your mother and your brothers. And Jesus said, who is my mother? My brother and my sisters. He looked up and stretched out his hands. These are my mother and my brother and my sisters. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, and my sister. He also said, whoever does my word. You see, what comes with a true confession is a true lifestyle of those who keep his word. And I love John on the island of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ gets this amazing vision and revelation of Jesus that the Father that much came to see, because there's a whole lot more, church, but he gave him that much, and he sent it to John by the angel of Jesus, this revelation of Jesus, and end times we call the book of Revelation, and sent and signified it to his servant John on the island of Patmos. You know, we don't want to fall into self-pity when we go through things, because God may be putting you in a place to receive a revelation that's really important. Amen. You know, so we need to count these things as joy, because there's something up, there's something God wants to do in us through our trials and things like that. He wants to teach us things, show us things. So we have to stay open. But later, you get to Revelation 19, John is evidently caught in the glory of this one angel that's transmitting a message to him, and he falls down at his feet to worship him. We probably do the same thing, and the angel is quick. See that you don't do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. See, hit it right there again. My mother, my brothers, my sisters, are those who hear the word of God. Keep it, do it. And by doing that, they're doing the will of God. being saved, a testimony of their good works.
Yes.
Their position in the church, or, oh, I don't do those things anymore. You know their authenticity by their testimony, which is Jesus. They talk about what God did for them through Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. Jesus died for me.
Yes.
He took my sins upon his own body that I might be dead to sin and live for righteousness. And by the way, that book of life is also called the Lamb's Book of Life. Not the church book of life, not church attendance book of life, you know. It's the Lamb's. It's for those who put their faith, all of their faith,
yes,
on the merit of Jesus to save them. No faith on their own merits. That was another encounter. I was standing before the girls. This one encounter up before Jesus again. And behind him is the view of the cross he died on. So that's past, and he's in front of it, and I'm in front of him. And in view of the cross with the end, I watched him purify my life, took all my sins away. And all of this was in plain view of the Father. And I'm singing this. And what was amazing in the encounters is I'm watching it, and yet I see me in it, and everything I'm feeling here. And the next scene was, after he did that, I'm now before the Father. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except for me. What a picture. Because of what he did on the cross, cleansed me. I was already saved. He's given me a picture. Because he was leading me to something. And then I was standing before the Father with total awareness that I was standing before God the Father solely on the merits of what Jesus did for me. And not on my own. Do you know what it's like to be granted to come into it? An amazing place that not everybody can go into. It's only granted. You don't deserve to be there at all. It's an awkward feeling if you've ever been in a place like that. And I felt a little awkward standing before the Father. I have nothing to show of myself for being there. I'm talking about being saved. But then I was there solely on the merits of what he did for me. And his countenance, there was no anger, no condemnation, no regret. It was his delight to send his son to do that so I could be there. Beloved, the only way you and I are going to be there is on the merits of Jesus Christ. For God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through faith in him. It is from that point that we do the will of God. And that's what the blessing of our blessing. He's even going to reward us for that. For what we do in his name as unto him with a pure heart. Something's really important, and I'm going to go through this part quick, so please, if you don't mind, I want you to take about 30 seconds and stand up. I'm going to have you sit back down again. Lord, we have some more time left, and I'm sensing Spirit, that there's a soul that's being weighed in the eternal balance, that's apart from you right now, and that you're tugging on their heart to confess what they believe in their heart, that you are the Christ, and to be saved. You will help that person, whoever they are, individuals, to not turn back, but to come to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. But you may be seated. I want to go through this part quickly, please. In John chapter 14, because before there's a confession, there has to be a belief, right? Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God? Good. Believe also in me. You know, and he goes on, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Where? How can we know the way? In verse 6, that's a famous scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. If you believe in God, he said, believe also in me. And he told us just how important believing in him really is. Because no one goes to the Father except through him. This is why John the Beloved, in 1 John 4:14, he proclaimed to all the people, you'll see it, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as what? Savior of the world. There's only one. And for those of us that have grown with this message, there's a tendency to get tired of hearing it. If we're not careful, we can get lax in our faith. And that's, you know, a lullaby by the devil that wants to lull the church to sleep, to get them to compromise, to start believing in something else. But we've seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And there is only one, and there will only ever be only one. And it's his name that we confess. And it's his name that we must testify to others. Amen? So that they can be saved and receive forgiveness and be sanctified by faith like we have been and receive this amazing inheritance. darkness to light so that they can receive, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with the rest of us who have been sanctified by faith. Amen. Let it ring in our hearts. Jesus. And so after he miraculously fed all these people, and then he goes off and trying to find him again. Word in John 6, and he declared himself as the bread of life. You know, some that got hung up on the total allegiance he was talking about to him. If you're going to believe in me, for who I really am, then you must totally follow me. Two worlds, one choice. Either sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the devil. Light.
Great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, had
when charge of all our treasury come to Jerusalem to worship is returning. Don't assume that everybody who worships God is saved. Don't assume that. They have a talk of God. Don't assume. Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. He's coming back from worshiping God and he's not saved. But he's close. He's not far from the kingdom. And so sitting in his chariot, the man was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Y'all listen, Philip's instructed by the Spirit to catch up to him. And when he does, he's invited to sit with the man. And he just happens to be reading what we call chapter 53 in Isaiah, the suffering servant, the Messiah. He's probably reading these verses. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace with God was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the guilt of us all, the sin. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, who's the prophet speaking about? Himself or another? And Philip opened his mouth. He spoke. Beginning at that scripture, he says he preached Jesus. There he is again. You can't get away from him. You don't want to get away from him. You want to love him with all your heart. You want to confess him with all you have. He needs to be your testimony. Jesus. And so he began to preach Jesus to him. Oh, thank God for that. What's happening here is the Spirit of God is drawing this eunuch to Jesus. He's hearing the word of truth, the gospel of his salvation, so he could receive forgiveness of his sins, be born again, and receive that inheritance. Verse 36, as they went down the road, they came to some water. You'll see this on the screen. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. So you know what was in that gospel presentation? You believe and was baptized. It's really important that it's like your first step of obedience to the faith is to be baptized in water. Because of what all that means. And he's like, look, here's some water. What's hindering me from being baptized? He says. And Philip said this. You know, I think I know why he questioned if you really believe. Because he was just at this other place, and there was a sorcerer there, you know, and it's like, I think he put his faith in Christ and went through all that. But when Peter and the others came, Peter had perception of God and saw into this man's life that Philip didn't see something. And Peter was like, your money perish with you. Thinking that you can buy the gift of God. For I perceive you're full of bitterness and all that stuff. And Philip saw that. He's like, I didn't see that. Now he's with this eunuch. The eunuch's like, I want to get baptized. So Philip learned something. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And I love it, y'all. Here comes the confession. I believe in Jesus Christ. I feel that. I feel that. He's the Son of God. In that moment, the man was born again. In that moment, his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He received forgiveness. Oh, my word. after that, talk about works befitting repentance. Amazing. And so it came to pass, 1 John 5:5, look at this. He took that first step. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Y'all, look at these verses in Romans. Such a beautiful example of this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, that's an important statement. Not what man says, or this or that. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You will not be disappointed, let down. So there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is right here. For the Lord, the same Lord, over all, is rich unto all. Wow. To call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. Should turn that mic down off real quick. Turn the volume down.
Jack is with Jesus today, and the Father,
They had 6 kids, so we'd get together, 12 kids. Lots of stories. And they had 4 boys. On this side was 3, so us 7 boys. We have our annual Thanksgiving football game and stuff. Well, this particular time, Uncle Jack is bringing his family to Maryland to spend Thanksgiving with us. Well, he told his class, he was teaching, because we're getting close to Christmas, and wouldn't it be a precious gift if we were able to lead someone to the Lord? And he challenged his group to share the gospel with somebody. So he himself was up on that. He was alert. And definitely wanted to do what he was telling others, right? So he gets to our house, and unbeknown to him, my mom invited a friend to spend Thanksgiving with us. And she said, really, he invited himself. So anyway, we spent Thanksgiving. My memory, I vaguely remember this man. So us kids, we went out after we ate our Thanksgiving meal. We're playing, and Uncle Jack shared the gospel with this man. And when he was done, he said, sir, read that New Testament that my sister gave you. And I want you to read beginning the Gospel of John, just the first 6 chapters. And he said this statement that you wouldn't normally say, but it was the unction of the Holy Spirit, which he probably didn't know. He said, and if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus and receive him after you read the 6 chapters, you're not going to have another chance to be saved. It's Thanksgiving. The following Tuesday, my mom's going to work, sees an accident, traffic's held up, sees a handicap sign for whatever that spoke to her. She gets out of the car, and the man's on the stretcher. Who do you think it was? It's her friend. And she's weeping. She's, God, save him. And the Lord said, shh, he's with me. My mom got in touch with his mom. They go through the house and stuff, and she was curious. I wonder if that Bible is in his house. And sure enough, it was next to his bed. And don't you know, suspense is really extraordinary. She opens it up. She goes to that book, John. She thumbs through. She gets to the 6th chapter, looks at the end, and sees that he wrote, this day, and there's a day, I received Jesus. So no doubt what my Uncle Jack said was the answer of the Spirit. If you don't receive him after that, you're not going to have another chance. First John 5:11-13, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and his life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life.
Yes.
And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And because of so much adversity and false doctrine spreading around, he said, these things we write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may be sitting here today, you know, and sometimes you may be struggling with the knowing, even about your own salvation. But based on what you've heard and your faith in Christ, all of this, I believe the Lord is strengthening your faith and saying to you, I want you to know. And don't doubt. Because you have my Son, and you've put your faith in his merits alone, you have eternal life. I'm going to confess you before my father. And I don't want you ever to doubt that. But maybe you're here. I want you to go to the next. There's a scripture, and I'm going to finish with this in Hebrews. I'm sorry, go to the one, 1 John chapter 2. Last two is really important. Therefore, church, let that abide in you. Let it remain in you. Let that abide in you, what you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide, will remain in the Son and in the Father. And what's the prize? And this is the promise He's promised us. Eternal life. How important is it then for us to let that which we heard from the beginning when we were saved to stay in us, for us to hold fast to the end of our last breath. How important? Very. Because if you do, then we stay in the Son and in the Father, and what's the promise? Eternal life. And so the Hebrews were going through so much persecution, but not to the point of shedding blood. But people would come in their homes and take their possessions, and they even counted it a joy because they had a more enduring possession in heaven. But it kept coming, y'all. And now their faith was really being tried. And some of them were thinking about letting go of their confession because it was getting too hot. You know what I'm saying? When you understand that in the book of Hebrews, what was going on, you'll understand the scriptures in there that people watered down. But they were thinking about turning their back on Jesus, trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot, counting the blood by which they were sanctified, a common thing, insulting the Spirit of grace. And so this word comes to them, no! Don't do that. Keep your confession. Hold fast to it. Your confidence, which has great reward. They were being tried. So let's go to Hebrews here, please. I want to close with this. Let us hold fast. Think of that running back. Talk about holding fast to a football. Why does he have to hold fast to it when he's given the ball? There's that defense. They want to strip that ball from him. They want to keep him from going across that finish line. And so the devil, using his agents, wants to strip our faith from us. To keep us from crossing the finish line. And when we understand that, we're more apt to fight and put our foot down on these serpents and to trample upon them and to say, no, you will not wrestle that faith from me. Because you are rooted in your identity in Christ and your future reign, and in that confession, I am going to hear Jesus confess me before the Father, and no one's going to take that from me. I'm preaching like it's my last message to the church. It's imperative we hear the truth. Forget a little while, and he who is coming, he's encouraging them and us, will come and will not tarry. Now just shall live by faith. And it's like the Lord's voice comes in. But if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Draws back to what? Well, then it's like the writer comes in by the Holy Spirit to encourage him again. But we are not of those who turn back to perdition, but of those who believe. How long? To the saving of the soul. I'm sitting in my chair. I've already have all this down in my heart, and I'm making that PowerPoint to make it easier. And I get to that part. Yet a little while, and he was coming.
Yes, that's it.
And the Holy Spirit just, and this weight comes on me. And I start crying, I'm weeping. I'm like, Lord, what's this? He said, there's some that aren't ready. Weeping with the burden of the Lord. And I was brought to this awareness that maybe today, every year, maybe it's you, your soul is weighing in the eternal balance. That you're close, you believe, but you haven't confessed. Made that commitment to be a follower of Jesus. He doesn't want you to turn back. Because to not come forward is to go back to something that ends in perdition. But God so loved you. Gave his only begotten Son, so you believe in him and not perish, but have everlasting life. Just pray. You know in your heart, don't. Holy Spirit's really tugging on your heart. You believe in Him, but you haven't confessed Him in public before witness. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Just want to give you an opportunity to do that, to come forward and put your faith in Christ, to confess Him as your Savior, and be saved. So, Lord, I just release that to you. Maybe they didn't make it today. If you would stand up with me, just lift our hands to the Lord. Just thank God for His Word, His salvation, truth. Lord, we thank You. We're so mercifully blessed, graciously honored that this gospel has come to us,
Jesus.
That we might become Your own.
Jesus.
Blessed be Your name, God. I want to open this altar time. Just put some music on it. Wherever you are, just to talk to the Lord, to receive prayer and the Spirit to comfort you, to encourage you, to speak a word to you. As this music plays, just come down, come forward. God bless you today.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.